The Natural History Museum of Utah tells a story through its architecture, and its placement right at the Bonneville Shoreline Trail reminds us that this place used to be underwater. The museum is home to displays that show how important water is to shaping the land and the cultural history of the state. Kerry Bringhurst talked to a variety of people working at the museum about their role in telling the story of water in Utah, both inside the walls of the museum and programs that take the learning outdoors.
A brilliant orange copper from a Utah mine wraps the exterior of the Utah Museum of Natural History. The structure is nestled into the foothills of the Wasatch Mountain Range, and everything about the structure's design represents some aspect of the state's ecological and geographical diversity. At first glance, you're drawn to the contours, the up and down angles that match the movement of the natural red rock background. Before entering the museum, you can hike or mountain bike along the Bonneville shoreline or the museum's main street, a reminder of how much the environment here has changed, telling a visual tale of how once upon a time, much of the local terrain here was covered by water.
I think that Utah is so unique because it's looked like so many different habitats within the course of its being.
This is Natalie Toth. She would know. She's an education outreach specialist for the Utah Museum of Natural History.
But if we go back even further in time, I mean, Utah has been covered by vast oceans and, you know, deep marine seas, and it's looked like a beach and a giant wetland and, you know, a giant tributary system with meandering streams. And so, you know, water really is responsible for shaping the landscape that we look outside and see today. I think the museum is so great in that it kind of ebbs and flows naturally as you walk through it, and it's really apparent to see the influence of water, whether that's, you know, influencing where ancient peoples had once settled in our state to, you know, how a fossil is going to form or what type of rocks are going to be formed in our geologic history. So it's truly shaped everything we have in our building.
In her role as an education specialist, Toth is responsible for helping to bridge the gap between the scientific community and the public. She's always looking to the museum's anthropologists, the botanists there, and the vertebrate zoologists to demonstrate how studying the past can help us understand more about the future.
Somebody that actually comes to mind is one of our researchers, Dr. Eric Rickert. He's the curator of vertebrates at the museum. He has this fantastic project where he is revisiting localities that were once visited 100 years ago, and he does a side-by-side comparison from old photographs of what the habitat looked like 100 years ago versus today. And it's truly amazing to see how those impact ecosystems have been impacted by humans and even, you know, by different creatures and different flora and things that have come to inhabit the area over time. And, you know, water is really the catalyst for the reason that those changes have happened.
My name is Eric Rickert, curator of vertebrate zoology at the Natural History Museum of Utah at the University of Utah. A curator in the real sense of the use of that term is a scientist who works in a museum, who deals directly with archival information, including collections and collection records, and does field work himself or herself to add to those collections. With respect to biological collections, natural history museums are the most important repositories of data on the diversity of life in the world. The things that museums have added to it is that we're able to go into our collections and reconstruct what animal and plant communities were like in the past. We're able to look at herbarium sheets or plant specimens from the past, and by looking at the date and where they were collected and looking at the stage of flowering or fruiting that they are in, tell us something about what the seasonality of the plants is. And plants are blooming a lot earlier than they used to in many parts of the country because things are warming up. Spring is coming earlier. And, you know, so that the in some cases, people think that this might be good for agriculture because the growing season might be getting longer. But out here in the West, you know, the spring may be relatively cool with a lot of moisture, but the problem is we're facing these summers that are getting hotter and hotter. and that means seasonal drought.
We've learned a lot about how Rickart studies the habitat history of Utah plants and mammals to help answer ways water can be a lens, a looking glass of sorts, to help explain how changes in the habitat could be a result of changes in patterns of moisture or water patterns, or vice versa. His research is housed and displayed within the museum walls, but Rickart says it is by going out of doors that he learns the most. It is that same concept, learning while outdoors, that led the museum to seek funding for a teacher training program known as TLO, or Taking Learning Outdoors.
Yeah, I think what's so great about, you know, most things that students learn indoors when they're, you know, reading about something in a textbook is that you're able to translate a lot of that into the outdoors, no matter really what the topic is. Students just love being outside.
That was Natalie Toth again. She and her supervisor, Jessica Seppi, oversee the Outdoor Learning Program, or TLO, a way of connecting Utah's K-12 teachers with the natural world through field trips, classroom visits, and innovative educational resources, all of which, they say, are centered on water quality and quantity, as well as biodiversity, geosciences, and sustainability. She says through collaborations with scientists and graduate students, classroom teachers, and informal educators, the program is helping to promote a deeper understanding of science and nature through authentic learning experiences across Utah's watersheds.
This program, Taking Learning Outdoors, really takes advantage of that student and teacher love of being outside in nature and really using the natural environment to convey certain topics. So, I mean, you can look at a picture of a soil profile in any textbook that we have in a classroom, but for a student to really be outside and to get their hands dirty and to be able to, you know, touch the soil and the earthworms and the bugs and the grass and everything that's in there, I mean, that's the experience that really makes the science stick and really helps the students, I think, remember the concepts that they're learning back in the classroom.
During this last school year, the 2014-15 school year, the Utah Natural History Museum's Taking Learning Outdoors program focused on the Little Bear Logan watershed in northern Utah. They worked with teachers in the Logan and Cache school districts.
Well, we try to use water as a lens for everything that we bring to the teachers and students. So a really unique part of this program, too, is that the teachers have the opportunity to attend 2-day-long workshops where, for example, this past year we took them up to the Stokes Nature Center and took them in Logan Canyon, and we talked about water conservation and water quality and ecology in the canyon. And then that way we're giving the teachers, you know, these hands-on experiences that they can then translate however they choose back in their classroom. So that's something that I'm really passionate about, is making sure that we're giving teachers really great, relevant, accurate information that they can then bring back to their students. And that's often through the lens of water. We get teachers outside right during that first workshop, talking about, you know, the wonders of the natural world. And then from there, we work with them one-on-one. Usually we'll have set up meetings with them one-on-one or Skype with them to figure out how they can implement outdoor activities with the students at school. In one teacher's classroom, his name was Mr. Cox, his fourth grade class, I had the opportunity to work outside with them at their playground, and we were discussing the different types of soil and which types of soil are best for harboring plant life, which ones are going to hold hold water the most, which ones are most nutrient-rich, and really how soil is created and why soil is so incredibly important to ecosystems for plants and animals and humans. It was really, really a great, really fun outdoor opportunity. You think about somewhere like down in someplace like Cedar City or, you know, Hanksville, Utah or wherever, where you're just in this really kind of low elevation basin type desert where, you know, you don't look out your window and see water, whereas, you know, the students that we're reaching over in West Valley, you know, they see the Jordan River flowing right next to their playground at school. So definitely two different environments with water. Just to be able to see how excited the kids are when they're, feeling a bug or, you know, picking a leaf off a tree or smelling a flower or something, to be able to see that firsthand is just, you know, really wonderful.
Beginning this fall, Natalie Toth and other education outreach specialists at the Utah Museum of Natural History will take learning outdoors once again as a way of helping to educate our youth about water. For The Source, I'm Carrie Bringhurst. But you got a lot of things I'm supposed to do, but I don't want to see nobody except you.
The Source comes from the studios of Utah Public Radio with major support from iUtah, helping to shape Utah's water future through statewide research, science, and education. I'm Jennifer Pemberton, captain of this ship we call The Source. I produced this month's program with excellent contributions from First Mates Ross Chambliss, Ryan Cunningham, and Carrie Bringhurst. Megan Simper is the sweet, sweet siren who wrote and played our theme music. You can listen to previous episodes of The Source at upr.org while you wait for next month's show to come out. If you want to talk about it on social media, the hashtag for the show is UPRSource. Thanks for listening.